Morning, everybody. Let's worship the Lord. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Let's thank the Lord, shall we? Dear Father, we do thank you for all that you have given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been selected, chosen out as a special people. And Lord, we know we didn't deserve it, but you saw our estate, you loved us, you went to Calvary, you died for our sin, we've been born again, you've lifted us up, and our hearts are filled with thankfulness and praise. We have a certain and a sure destination and a presence with us who never leaves us, never forsakes us. Lord, we thank you for our blessing in Jesus Christ. And we come together this morning to express our thanks and to worship you for who you are. Lord, yes, what you're doing and all you've lined up for us in the future, but it's who you are, the preciousness of your comfort, your power, your presence, and your overawing presence in every part of our lives. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, but as we come into your presence, we know that even though we come with thankfulness and rejoicing, we need to come with a measure of carefulness. We come before a holy God, and we realize that none of us walk perfectly before you. So we come and ask for that forgiveness, and we come, dear Father, with a recognition that you are a holy God and that you are speaking to us, and it's a wonderful privilege. Dear Father, thank you for your presence this morning. Let us worship you truly from our hearts and speak to us above all things for the glory of your Son. Amen. Amen.
It's a special joy to see you all. Am I linked up all right?
Yes.
Switched on all right? Best to have a switched on preacher, right? Hallelujah. Lovely to see you all, and thank you so much for having me to be your speaker this morning. I was ever so interested in our brother's report that he gave. You work with schools then. Yes, isn't that great? And how the Lord is using him. And I loved his accent as well. This week I had to be at a funeral and take part in a funeral in Ormskirk. And there's a lady here that was at the service. There was a couple of hundred there. But I'd forgotten that around these different parts, I thought it was a Yiddish-speaking area around there. I couldn't make out all that they were saying, but it was lovely to hear our brother too. Praise the Lord. Thank you. It's a special privilege to be here. I've warm memories of this fellowship. And dear brother Jeff, our friendship goes back a long time. I'm not going to tell you how long, but quite a long time. We've known each other and respected and loved each other. But from this fellowship, too, came so much love and kindness when my very dear wife passed to be with the Lord 2 years ago this week on the 13th of May, on Tuesday. And some of you are walking the same road, and you understand how it is. And nothing is the same, and I miss her so much. But the Lord has been really good, and the fellowship and the cards, the kindness and the phone calls that came from this fellowship, I shall never forget, and thank you again so much. How wonderful, and I don't say that I've lost her, that if you lose something, it's like saying to somebody, excuse me, have you seen my glasses? I've lost my glasses. And then they say, well, where did you last have them? Well, if I knew that, they wouldn't be lost. I'd know where they were if I knew the last time I saw them. And our loved ones are with Christ. We haven't really lost them. We know where they are. Right? And I have a little verse for you before I start. And I'm going to hurry along. I'm not going to keep you all day. All right? Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Here's a little verse for you. And if this doesn't bless you, nothing will. Hebrews chapter 13. This has been a wonderful little verse. Lots of you will know this verse. Your pastor will know it. But verse 5. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation, it means your lifestyle, be without covetousness. Don't always be coveting things and money, material things. And be content with such things as you have. Because he, that is the Lord, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Friends, isn't that wonderful? And some of you, I'm sure your pastor knows this, in the Greek New Testament, from which our English Bible was translated, in the force of the Greek, that word, never, see it? I will never leave you, never forsake you. It's multiple. It's as if God is telling us here in his word, and the Bible is the word of God. One day the whole world will know that, doesn't know it yet, doesn't want to know it. One day they'll understand. It's, I will never, never, never. Some say it's seven, others four times. Hey, God's never going to let you down. And he's never going to let me down. He's never going to forsake us. And then look at verse 6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Isn't that wonderful to say with boldness, the Lord is my helper? And he is, and he's been my helper over these 2 years as I've traveled up and down the land, in Romania too, where I shall be in, God willing, well, I haven't booked the flights yet, but God willing, I'll be in January and lecture to the students there. Over 100 will be there in the Bible school, right in the middle of Romania. And it's been a wonderful time knowing the Lord's blessing and fellowship. It all began when I was a little lad of 14 years of age. And I was invited to a Billy Graham meeting. 1954. Are you good at arithmetic? You'll know now that I'm 71, but you have to put the VAT on top of that. Don't forget. I don't forget what percentage it is. And I didn't want to go to hear this Billy Graham. He wasn't there. And there was no picture today. They have a big screen, don't they? But this is going back about 100 years, you see. The television wasn't invented. You just had a little box with a hole and a speaker. And I was invited to go along. And I didn't want to go. And my mom, she said, you shouldn't be going to that. He's a hypocrite. He's from America and he's making a lot of money out of religion, she said. So I got a good inoculation against the gospel. I thought, well, if that's what's going on. But I tell you what, friends, they began to sing the wonderful hymns of the Christian faith. Great is thy faithfulness. How great thou art. I always loved the hymns. Sacred hymnology. Always loved the hymns of the church. And this sort of really helped me, and I thought, these are wonderful songs. These people really mean what they're singing. Singing of the faith of a living, personal Jesus Christ. And when the gospel, when Billy came, his deep American voice, I know there was that about it, but he was anointed of God. I can't remember the sermon, but I do remember he said, God loves you. Boy, that went right in here like an arrow in my heart. And he said, Jesus Christ died for you. As another big arrow went in here. Something about the way he preached it. Something the way he was God's man, you see. And some people said in those days, Billy Graham's converts don't last. People talk that way. And I'm sure they don't, but I wasn't a convert of Billy Graham. The Lord saved me. He was just the preacher. I was apprehended by sovereign grace. God got hold of me. Folks, God is real. And God got hold of me that night. And Billy said, God loves you. Christ died for you. And then I can't remember all the rest of what he preached. But that night he said, if you will give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, he'll give eternal life to you. Man, nobody had to beg me to go to the front. I was one of the first of the boys. We were in BB uniform. Do you know what the BB is? Yes, I thought it meant behind bars when I joined up, but it didn't mean that. The BB, I was in a BB uniform like this, and I was one of the first to go forward, and I invited Jesus Christ to enter my young life, and he did. And he's been with me ever since. Friends, it's a miracle, a wonderful thing when the Lord saves And Jesus is mighty to save. He can save anybody. Some of the toughest nuts. I was a pastor in the city of Bradford. You perhaps know, and they speak Yiddish there as well. And I was in Bradford. I tell you, if you want tough nuts, you go across. But we saw the Lord changing men and women, changing marriages, changing lives. He's mighty to save. But there's another miracle, because the one who's mighty to save, that is to redeem and to change, he's mighty to keep. And the one that saved me all those years ago has kept me ever since. And he's mighty to save and mighty to keep. Lovely to be with you. That's not the sermon. We're coming to that now. So I hope you're going to turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, please. And I'll hurry. I won't keep you here all day, I promise. And it's chapter 38 of Ezekiel. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 38. And as we read this tonight, the Hebrew prophets speak today. Do you know that? This is the word of God. One day everybody will understand that. They don't now, and they don't want to understand it. But one day they will. Ezekiel chapter 38 and from verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me, that's the prophet Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech, Tubal, and prophesy against him. Here's somebody God is taking issue with. And you say, well, who on earth is Gog and Magog? Hold on, we'll come to it in a moment. It's going to get very interesting. Because the power of Gog and Magog is on your television every day and it's top news. We're going to find out about this. And say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against you, O Gog. God's against them, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And I will turn you back and put hooks into your jaws. Fancy God saying that. That's not nice, but he's not dealing with a nice nation. Going to put hooks in their jaws and bring you forth, all of your army with horses, horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Verse 5. Look, joined with Gog and Magog, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands and the house of Togarmah, and the north quarters and all his bands and many people. Be prepared and prepare yourself, you and all your company that are assembled unto thee, for be thou a guard unto them. I want you, loving friends, God bless you. You follow now carefully in the Bible. After many days, you shall be visited. In the latter years, now that means the same in the Hebrew Bible, the last days. And I humbly submit to you this morning, we're living in the last days. Time is running out for planet Earth. We're living in the last days. So this is very much up to date. In the latter years, you shall come back into the land that is brought back from the sword. That can only be the land of Israel. And is gathered out of many people. Yes, the global diaspora. They've been gathering back in the land. Against the mountains of Israel, as the Golan in the north, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Hey, Israel doesn't dwell in safety now. If you're watching your television and hasn't dwelt in safety since 1948, in the last 2,000 years, but there's going to be a time when there will be peace that will come to that land, but it won't be Christ's peace. That will come at a later stage. And you will ascend and come like a storm, and shall be like a cloud to cover the land, you and all your bands and many people with you. This is a great army led by a nation called Gog. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall come to pass that at the same time things shall come into your mind, and you shall think an evil thought. And in that day I will go up, you will say, to the land of unwalled villages, the kibbutzim, and I will go with them that are at rest and that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, having neither bars nor gates. And will you go down to verse 15, please? If you're following in the Bible, if not, just listen, that's okay. Thou shalt come from your place, out of the north parts. Here is prophesied a northern power, a great power, that will link up with many Islamic powers. We'll come to it in a moment. From the north parts to invade Israel, and many people with you, all of them riding upon horses, a great company. And you shall come against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. I've explained that. And I will bring thee against my land. Did you see in that verse God speaks of my people and my land? That the heathen may know me when I am sanctified in thee, O Gog, and is in Gog's destruction before their eyes. Verse 18, and it shall come to pass at that same time, when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, that's a foolish thing to do, saith the Lord God, my fury shall come up in my face. Just wait a moment, friends, and look up. I'm sorry you've got to look at an old man like me. For many years, people like looking up to see a young man. When I had a fresh complexion and hair, you got to look at an old man. Friends, that's something when God's fury comes up in his face. God says, I'll deal with this northern power. I'm going to see to this great coalition of forces. Going to find out a little bit about it this morning. The wrath of God will come. And mind you, I believe that God is angry with Britain this morning too. I think we're living under God's disapproval and under his wrath in Mr. Cameron's Britain. Now, I mustn't go along that line this morning. Neither am I a politician. I'm a servant of the Lord. And we see things through God's eyes, seek to and have a biblical worldview. God is angry with Britain. His fury will come up in his face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking. And verse 22, I will plead against him, Gog, with pestilence and blood, rain upon him and his bands and upon many people that are with him, an overflowing rain. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself. I will be known in the eyes of many nations. They shall know that I am the Lord. We haven't time, but in your own time, go into the next chapter. You'll find it will take many, many months in the land of Israel, continually employed men to bury the dead of this battle. Who is it? When will it happen? What will be the results? Now, you needn't look it up, but many of you will know that in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24, the Lord Jesus said this, behold the fig tree. That word behold means to look with intent. Very important that you see something. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. What is the fig tree? Well, you will know that. Praise the Lord, you belong to a church. A lot of church, well, not many I go to. They don't ask me very much to liberal churches. They know what I stand for. But a lot of churches, they don't hear anything of the Word of God, of the lovely prophetic Word. But in that Gospel 24 of Matthew, he says, behold the fig tree. He's saying, watch the fig tree nation Israel, budding back into life. You'll have to look it up in your own time. You'll never get your dinner, but don't worry. This is spiritual food. Amen? Behold the fig tree, and then he says, and all the trees. Behold that nation, which is so central to God's purposes for planet Earth, but behold also all the trees. Watch the nations. Be a world watcher. We're a sky watcher, really. But he says, watch the fig tree nation and watch the nations of the world. Now, why does the Lord Jesus teach us in the scriptures to do that? Listen, lots of you already know, God is working out a great global agenda, a great plan to bring the world back to himself, a rebel world, but the Bible teaches me that human history is going to end at the feet of Jesus Christ, and he's going to be king and Lord. Zechariah, the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day, and his name, the One, in the Hebrew Bible, his name, One. Syncretism, polytheism, many gods, the gospel of the BBC, all religions are the same, and it doesn't matter what you... Yeah, that'll all be gone, because the world will know who Jesus is. And this is going to be here as well. Now, I want you to go to Ezekiel chapter 38 then and ask, who is this nation mentioned in verses 1 to 2? And may the Lord help us, and I will hurry. Pastor knows this is what we call diagnostic preaching. We probe like a doctor and ask questions of the Bible. Who is this? Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog or Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him and say, thus saith the Lord God, I am against you, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Who on earth is this? Well, now we can find out who this is. And we turn to the people, many of them biblical scholars and some of them not biblical scholars, called the etymologists. Etymology is the study of the origin of races. And as we look at Gog and Magog, I wonder some of you using a different translation of the Bible, have you got, and it says Rosh? Yes. Yeah. Well, here is a nation called Rosh that is anti-God, anti-Semitic, anti-Israel. Anti-Israelism is just a disguised form of anti-Semitism, isn't it? It's the same thing. Here is a nation, and the word Gog, Magog simply means the land of Gog, it says here. Magog, the land of Gog. But this nation, which didn't exist in as a nation in Ezekiel's time, we discover from the experts, is a very, very interesting thing. The study of ancient languages. One of the great scholars of the church was a man called Jesenius. He lived and 1786 to 1842, but in universities across the world, his lexicon, Hebrew Greek lexicon, what a brilliant textual scholar he was. Jesenius, he's still an authority all across the world all these years later. He said that this word here, Gog, should be translated Rosh, which can mean in Hebrew head. But he declared that it was Rosh-a. And he was one of the Christian Church's most renowned and eminent textual scholars. And he said that's what it was. It means Russia. We notice too in Ezekiel that this invasion will be from the north. And it will come down, this army, a very big army, with a coalition of strange coalition of people, we'll come to it in a moment, will come down over the mountains of Israel. And that's got to be the Golan. So here is a scenario of the end times. We'll find out in a moment what it is about. From Russia, a northern force coming in the latter times to invade Israel. Furthermore, Jesenius declared that Meshech is an ancient tribal name, wait for it, for Moscow. And Tubal, a major city, dominant city in the other, I think in the east of Russia, Tobolsk. And he declared from his studies that the city of Moscow and Tobolsk, ancient tribal names, are no other than Tubal and Meshech. Here it is, a northern nation called Rosh or Russia that will come to invade Israel. And we find in the scripture it'll be the biggest blunder they ever made. God's fury will come up in his face and the military might of imperial Russia will be broken. Now, maybe you're not all convinced. Here's something else. If you were to get a map of the Middle East, and you do know, don't you, that in God's map and view of the world, Jerusalem is the center of the world, as it is in the Mappa Mundi, the oldest map in the world. Is it in the cathedral? Yes, thank you. The oldest map of the in the world, the Mappa Mundi, Jerusalem is the capital, and all Bible directions, north, south, east, and west, are from the Holy Land and from Israel. Now, if you were to get a map of the Middle East this morning and lay a plastic ruler on the city like this, the city, say, in your imagination of Jerusalem, and lay it vertically like this on the map of the Middle East, and follow that up the line of longitude, right? Where will you come? Moscow, within a very few degrees. Here we have identified for us from the Hebrew prophet Ezekiel concerning a nation that didn't exist when he was alive. He's looking into the prophetic future through the telescope of prophecy. I want to submit to you this morning, he's talking about something that is happening on your TV screens right this day as we see resurgent Russia. Russia is a resurgent nation. And let's remember that Russia is the most ancient anti-Jewish, anti-God nation on earth. Always has been and will be. We thank the Lord there's a church there, of course. But the ancient Russia, I've got many things here that I'll skip over. Russia, anti-God. And Stalin, when he brought the Great Purge in, was it 20 million that perished? He says, we have deposed the czars and we will go on to depose the God of heaven. They believed in science and disproved God and so on. And he said, we will go forth in Russia and we who have deposed the czars will soon relegate Jesus Christ to mythology. That's their game. Atheism, science, in opposition to God. True science, of course, in the Bible do not disagree. They have the same author, right? Okay, now we haven't time to go into that this morning. You hear a lot of nonsense spoken today in the name of science, but it's science that is unproven and inconclusive. It's put forward like a watertight, scientific, proven. It's not. Many of the things we listen to. Now then, I mustn't be talking about evolution this morning. I want you to look at verses 4 to 6. And I want to show you something very interesting. Verse 4. I will turn you back, put hooks in your jaws, bring you forth and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Just look up a moment. Ezekiel had no concept of weapons of mass destruction. He wouldn't know what modern weapons were like, so he talks about swords and shields. It's all he would know, you see. But he's talking about armies with weapons of mass destruction coming against Israel. Read on verse 5. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and his bands, and Togarmah, and so on. Now then, we haven't time to go into these epithets. Let me point out to you that Russia's first and main coalition partner is a nation called Persia. Now come on, where is Persia today? Modern Iran is Persia. Its ancient name wasn't Iran, but Persia. What a strange thing that the world's number one atheist nation, Russia, and there's people in our country that would like us to go to, spiritually to Sovietize Britain as well, no God. The world's number one atheist nation is going to join hands with one of the most deeply religious nations, Islamic nations on earth. Can you understand that? Who would have said that that was possible? But Ezekiel said it would happen. And the other nations too, Ethiopians. So they're Islamic nations. Here we see a prophecy that Russia and Islam will join together. Who would have given credence to such a ridiculous proposition even 30 years ago? Let me tell you, friends, they don't laugh at that concept today. What is happening in Iran? In Shiite Iran, for some years, they've been refining uranium up to weapons level. It's done in what are centrifuges, like this. Now, I don't know much about nuclear fission, But the centrifuge is, I've read a little bit about it, they go around like this, it takes years. Some believe Iran already has the nuclear bomb. But all the world is scared of a Shiite nuclear bomb. First thing they want the bomb for? To wipe Israel off the map. They said it. I didn't say it. They said it. What else do they want the bomb for? To destroy America. I didn't say it. That's what they're saying. What else do they need the bomb for? Well, to export global Islamic terrorism all over the world. I didn't say it. That's what they say. And Mr. Obama has just paid billions and billions of dollars that were kept secure away from Iran. And he's paid out, I don't know how many billions of dollars. Maybe someone can help me afterwards. But I have my facts right here. Guess what Iran is going to spend their billions of dollars on? You can just guess, can't you? And Israel has surveillance, and from the planes in the sky, they can see the nuclear know-how going in, as it did, as it's going into, did you know, Assyria too? All over the world, Russian military know-how is going into Iran. Iran today is working day and night, refining uranium in their centrifuges up to weapons grade, and through bungled diplomacy, vacillating president of America. Some believe he is a closet Islamist. We don't know, and we don't judge the man. He claims to be a Christian. But Israel has surveillance proof that Iran's technology, we know this, is imported from Russia. Does it matter? They are preparing a bomb, they say, that will hit London and New York. They are on a march for a global caliphate. I hope you know this. And I hope you realize this. And the Hebrew prophet Ezekiel speaks about it. Missiles that can reach UK cities and all over the world. The Russian bear, along with its allies, will commit a fatal blunder and will come down over the Golan according to this prophecy. And it is there that God's fury will come up in his face, and the military might of Islam and Russia will be destroyed upon the mountains of Israel. Friends, Jesus Christ is Lord. The devil cannot win and won't win. Make sure you're on the side of Jesus Christ. If you're on the side of the Lord, you're on the winning side. If you're on the devil's side, you're on the losing side. You can't win. But how wonderful to know that Jesus is Lord. When will this take place? Look at verse 8. After many days, Ezekiel was speaking in the Old Testament. You shall be visited. In the latter days, you shall come into the land that is brought back from the sword. Here is Israel's restoration to the land and is gathered out of many people, not just Babylon. He's speaking about the global diaspora. It's been on for 2,000 years against the mountains of Israel. They shall ascend like a storm. And look at verse 11. You will say, Russia and your allies, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest and that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. What a strange prophecy. Whenever did the people, the Jewish people, and don't forget there are over 1 million Palestinians living within the land of Israel. They have the same social security, civil rights as Jews. I speak to them. I tell you they're not in a big hurry to leave Israel. Over 1 million of them live with the Jewish people in the land. Try being a Jew in an Arab land. Now, friends, here Ezekiel says, this Magog war is going to take place at a time when Israel won't need bars, locks on their gates, and won't need walls to be safe. Whenever did that happen? Whenever did the Jews dwell like that? Well, you'll have to turn to another Hebrew prophet in the book of Daniel, just quickly. Daniel chapter 8. I hope you're interested in this. Daniel chapter 8 from Ezekiel. Turn on to Daniel 8 and verse 23. Daniel 8 and 23. In the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, what an awful expression, And I think that that's what's happening in the world today. A king of fierce countenance. This is not God's king, but the devil's king, the coming world antichrist. Understanding dark sentences shall stand up. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Sure. Revelation 13 says, the dragon will give him his power. The devil will give him his power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people, the Jewish people. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper, global commerce and money. And he shall magnify himself in his heart. Watch what the Bible says next. And by peace, he will destroy many. By peace, he will destroy many. And he will also stand up in the latter days against the Prince of Princes. That's the Lord Jesus. But he shall be broken without hand. He'll not be destroyed by weapons of mass destruction. He'll be destroyed by the personal intervention of Jesus Christ, the rightful ruler of the universe. And had we time, we could go to the second letter of Paul to the Thessalonians, where Satan, this coming world, super politician. And we have an arrogant politicians now, but this guy who's coming, he's going to be a kind of a super politician. And for the Jews, a final furor. A final furor. And that evil world leader, friends, he will come. If we only time, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and that man will rule the world. And the people will love him. Revelation 13 says they will worship the beast. He'll be a kind of a reincarnation of Caesar worship. The people will see him as a god. Why will they love him? Well, why will the world receive him? And why will the Jewish people receive him? We need time to explain that. But friends, why will they love him? Because he's going to bring a peace to the Middle East. If Mr. Obama could bring peace between the Jew and their neighbors, between the Jew, they would be statesmen, but they can't do it. And they won't be able to do it. The false peace that Christ will bring. So that fixes the time of this battle. The Magog War, this Russian-led invasion which has Islamic powers joined up with it. Sure, Islam would seek the destruction of every Jew on earth. You know, don't you, that they don't want them just to leave the land. They want them dead. I could prove that to you. They hate them. There's a satanic hatred at the bottom of anti-Semitism and anti-Israelism. So we see here that that it will happen at a time when Israel is at peace. When will that be? And here we conjecture a little. It must be in the first 3.5 years of the 7 of the Great Tribulation. Now, there's enough in there to keep us going for a week. So you'll have to take me at my word here and study. Like the Bereans, they search the scriptures daily whether these things were so, didn't they, Pastor? Now, you be a Berean and go home and look it up. You won't get your dinner. I've already told you that. But here, friends, I hope you're all listening. In the first 3.5 years of, and this comes up so many days and so many months, it's got to be literal. It's got to be real. The other 69 years have been literally fulfilled in Scripture, including the crucifixion, and the final week of years must be literally fulfilled. God says it. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. And that final week of years is divided into two parts. The first 3.5 years, peace on earth. But it's not God's peace. It's a fix and a deception of the Antichrist. And then he commits the abomination of desolation, deifies himself in a rebuilt Jewish temple. Hey, Mr. Passmore, you're in fantasy land. Oh, no, I'm not. I can show you the temple getting ready to be rebuilt. The marble, the high priest's garments, the instruments of worship, according to the book of Leviticus. Of course, they don't know Jesus Christ. They're building it in fanatical unbelief, but they're getting ready. Messianic expectation is running high among the Jewish people. Did you know that Messianic expectation is running high in Islam? They're powered up because they believe that Jesus, the prophet, is coming soon. I spoke to a young man in Derby, and I says, when Jesus comes, it'll destroy the Jews. I says, you've got the wrong message. The Jesus I believe in is Jewish. But there you are. Messianic end time expectation, urgency in the world of the Jewish people, the world of the Islamic people, sadly not among God's people. It's not even on the back burner except in churches like this. Hallelujah. You keep coming here. Amen. I don't get paid for saying this. I'm just saying that. I better move on to another side. You go to a church where, like here, praise the Lord, where the Bible is our only authority. Friends, this is the book that keeps us from the devil. Amen? Or the devil keeps us from this book. Thank God you've come this morning to a Bible church. So we have a northern invasion on God's agenda. It'll happen, I believe, just after the church is gone. Some people think we'll still be here. They're not waiting for Jesus Christ. They're waiting for Antichrist. I'm not. I'm waiting for the Lord Jesus to come, saved and delivered from the wrath of that 7 years. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. But I'll have to finish just here, friends. Listen in conclusion. Human history isn't in the hands of Mr. Cameron. It's not in the hands of Mr. Obama. Not in the hands of Vladimir Putin. They strut the stage as if they own the planet and the Bible says they don't run the world at all. They strut around by divine permission. The reins of human government are in the hands of Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. And when he comes, the whole world will know. And he's going to deal with Russia, with the anti-God forces of the Soviet Union. And he'll deal with all the nations, all the fig tree and all the nations. But how wonderful to know that even the mighty power of Russia, her military power, will be broken on the mountains of the Golan. The Hebrew prophets speak today. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? The world's all dressed up and they've nowhere to go. They don't know what they're here for. And they don't know why they're here. And they don't know where they're going. Thank God I do. I found it at the cross when Jesus Christ redeemed me. Make sure you belong to him. If you don't belong to him this morning, how can I do that? Why, it'll take a very few minutes. We won't keep you long. But we can help you to find him and point you the Bible way of salvation. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. Have you got a song perhaps for us? Right. And do remember the work of Hebrew Scriptures. And please remember me as I go to Romania. So it's only about 20 degrees below zero. And before the planes take off, they have to de-ice the plane. And I feel like I need to de-ice myself when I'm in Romania. But thank God the Lord is at work in Romania. Thank you very much.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for our own experience of saving grace through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the will of the Spirit in our hearts that rises up and it confirms with what you say in your word. Hallelujah. You are a perfect God, blending everything through all your creation and in your word. We praise you for the word that is before us today. Lord, we know these are hard days in which to live. They're hard days to proclaim the faith in many areas and certainly here. When society seems to be gradually being destroyed and there's pressure from the media and all sorts of other areas to turn away from the things that we have counted dear. But Lord, it's also a very special privilege time to be alive, to see the very words of Scripture coming into being, to see that the Bible's more up to date than the newspaper. Lord, it's an absolutely amazing thing. And I remember, dear Father, years ago, we had to have prophecy updates every 6 months or every year. Now it's every day. Dear Father, we know that you're coming soon. We know that Jesus is coming for his church. Lord, we know it is. Lord, may we be continually stirred to live that holy life that our witness in these days and our fellowship and our understanding of your word will be richer indeed, and we will be stronger in Christ, and we will be able to fulfill all the things that you have for us to do. May Jesus Christ be praised in our lives, in our witness, in the church, in everything we do for his name's sake. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.